when I started this business, I didn't imagine that we could possibly do this much business and revenue in our first year. I didn't even know if it was going to work. And I was saying to myself, 6 months from now, I was saying to my wife and myself, if this doesn't show that it's financially viable, I've got a backup plan. I'm going to go get a job.
Hey, everybody. Seth Silvers here with another amazing conversation with another great entrepreneur on the Small Business Storytellers. This week, we talk with Justin Janowski, and they just started their business a year ago, and they just crossed the $400,000 mark in sales. And so we dive into the sales side of things and some really practical tactics that I know you'll be able to apply. So this is a fun conversation. I wish it could have gone longer, but he has a gift for you that will help your business at the end of this episode. And Justin is unique because their audience is so specific. It's men who are Christians and business owners. But no matter what background you come from, whether you are a person of faith or not, you will absolutely love the sales advice that Justin gives in this episode. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive right into another episode. Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the podcast designed for business owners, marketers, and entrepreneurs wanting to make an impact through the work that they do. I'm your host, Seth Silvers, and my passion is building brands that last by marketing with stories. On this podcast, we share stories with you of people who are growing their businesses the right way, and we teach you how to grow what you're doing through storytelling and authentic marketing. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. I am here with Justin Janowski. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about this because even though we're 2 hours apart, we're both in the same beautiful state of Colorado. And as soon as I heard who you were and what you do, I was like, man, how do we not know each other yet? So this is going to be fun just getting to learn about what you do and just learning a little bit from the success that you guys have had as a young company. So Justin, give us some context for who you are and what it is that you do.
Great, great question. So first and foremost, I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. And secondly, I'd say I'm a husband and I'm a father. And the third thing that's important about who I am and what I do is that I am the CEO and founder of Faith to Influence. That's Faith, the number two, Influence. And what we do at Faith to Influence is we help Christian men in business really, really master their business skill sets around leadership and sales, their relationship skill sets, especially the ones that are important to being a husband and being a father. And we help them integrate their faith into their business and their family. And so those are the real areas that we're focusing on. And we lead our clients through 3-day live retreats in Colorado, and then a mastermind group coaching program, some one-on-one coaching, and a number of other things that we do to engage with them. Ultimately, though, what we're really after every single day is to help men, Christian men specifically, win more at work, at home, and in their faith.
Cool. I love that. And I want to kind of mention to the listeners that we realize that everybody has, everybody comes from different backgrounds and has different beliefs. And so even though Justin and I share the same faith, I want this podcast to be a place where we can learn from people of different backgrounds and of different, you know, beliefs or whatever it might be. And so if you're not a Christian, keep listening, because just because somebody believes different things than you doesn't mean that they can't teach you amazing things of how you can build what you're doing in your life. So I would say I want anybody who, regardless of what they believe, to feel like they can be open about it and mm-hmm. honest about it and stuff. So I appreciate your honesty and transparency with that. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about helping Christian men really, like, it sounds like the whole man, like a well-rounded person. Why not just like help them grow their business or whatever? Mm-hmm. Like, talk to me about the actual, it sounds like there's a problem that you guys are trying to help fix.
Yes. Thank you for asking. And I will say that at my former company, it was not faith-based at all. And we worked with 6-figure earning and 7-figure earning salespeople and entrepreneurs. And we helped them, you know, go from earning $100,000 to $200,000, or go from earning $500,000 to $1,000,000. And it didn't have anything to do with faith. And it was really great business and leadership and sales skill set development. And I loved that. And I love personal and professional development as a whole, that leads me to grow in my career. And then I also love, you know, being involved with my church and having support in my faith and my family in that setting. What I've found in my life is that I've rarely had community in which faith, family, and business were all honored and prioritized at the same high level. And so I wanted to bring high level professional development, the kind of development that 6 and 7 figure earners are paying for. And I wanted to integrate family and faith, because ultimately if we're winning at work, but we're not winning at home, we're not going to feel very fulfilled. And the pain that we're feeling at home is going to move into the workplace. It's going to affect the way we show up. It's going to affect our energy. It's going to affect how we feel. And the same is true for our faith. The same is true for our business. If we're leaving one of these three areas behind, or two of these three areas behind, at the expense of another, we're ultimately going to be less fulfilled and less successful than we desire. And we're going to be less of who we know that we're meant to be. And so I really want to help men, and our company really wants to help men really feel complete and like they're becoming who they were created to be in all areas. And yeah, I know that each of these three areas affect the others.
So why the decision to be a for-profit business as opposed to a nonprofit charity?
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot too, because most people assume if you're faith-based, yeah, you're probably going to be nonprofit. In fact, it's funny, when I post on social media about us, when I post on Facebook, they consistently put a headline above the post that asks me if I want to raise money for our nonprofit. And I have to click X and say no, like, yeah, not a nonprofit. And the reason is I've been in business for 14 years. I've been in sales. I've been an entrepreneur, and I've always been very successful at it. And I know that for most people, when they are trying to grow personally, they're trying to grow professionally, they go to different conferences or events, or they hire a coach. They, especially if they're in business and they want to grow in business, they want to grow their revenue, they want to grow their profitability, they want to grow their income, they want to work with someone or work with a company that has a history of success in generating revenues and profits and income. And I want our company to be one that allows for space for us to employ people and allows for them to live a nice lifestyle. I want to create a lifestyle that people desire to have for themselves so that we can model it. And I also don't think that income or money is in conflict with faith and Christianity and goodness. Mm-hmm. In fact, I want to earn as much money as I possibly can in my lifetime. And one of the reasons why is because I want to give as much money as I possibly can in my lifetime. My wife and I have always challenged ourselves in our giving. And since we've been married, we've given between 15 and 20% of what we've earned every single year. And that doesn't include all the times that we've hosted people at our house, and a lot of the feeding of people that we've done, and a lot of the things that we do is outside of that. But we have structures in place to give 15 to 20% of what we earn. And I'd like to eventually give 25%. I'd like to someday give 50%. When I'm 70 years old, I hope I'm earning more money than I've ever earned in my life, and that I don't need any of that income. I hope that I can give 100% of it away someday and just live off of my investments. And so I believe that God invested in me and gave me a skill set that is one that can and has the capacity to earn a lot of income. And through that earning, I hope to inspire people to give. I hope to give and be impactful through it.
I love that. I love the focus of, how can I use these tools and these gifts that I've been given and that I was born with, not just to, you know, serve myself and make myself money, but how can we use them to actually give back to people around us? I've noticed for most people, there's a moment. The moment might have been brewing for a while, but there's some moment where you decided, I'm going to start Faith to Influence.
Yeah.
Tell us about the moment that you actually realized, like, okay, now is the time, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. That's really interesting and fun. And before I share, I had a thought that occurred to me right after I answered the last question, which is to say that I work with entrepreneurs who are dealing with the same challenges and opportunities as me in building a new business or in growing their sales and growing their income and working on their profitability. And so I also think it's important that we're dealing with the same challenges our clients are every single day. And in our first, you know, we're 1 year and 1 week in business so far.
Congratulations.
And God's really, thank you. God's happy blessed birthday. Us. And we've booked over $400,000 in revenue. We passed that mark yesterday. We booked something like $400,000 in revenue our first year. And that actually doesn't leave as much room for profit as you'd imagine. We have a team of five people now, and we have a fair amount of expenses. And so, like, I'm in the same battle our clients are in. I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. So all that being said, when I started this business, I didn't imagine that we could possibly do this much business and revenue in our first year. I didn't even know if it was going to work. And I was saying to myself, 6 months from now, I was saying to my wife and myself, if this doesn't show that it's financially viable, I've got a backup plan. I'm going to go get a job. And so I can also relate to the people who are listening, who are struggling to start that business or are in fear of whether or not they're going to be able to make it. Because that's certainly mm-hmm. how I felt the first few months. So to answer your question of how we started this business and when the moment was that I decided, I'm going to share two moments. One is that 8 months before I left my job at my last company, I had a vision for running this kind of business. I was in similar business with them. It just wasn't faith-based and it didn't bring in the relational marriage, fathering kind of component. It was just sales and business. And so I had this moment where I thought, man, I want to talk about sale. I want to talk about sales and business still and lead in that way. I also, though, really want to talk about faith. I want to be able to pray. I want to integrate God into this. I want to be able to talk about marriage and fathering because I think it's so important. And I also want to talk about giving. I want to talk about when we earn more, how can we be impactful with what we've been given? And I felt so strongly about like this moment. I remember I was sitting at my desk and this all occurred to me. And I said to myself, man, I have to do this someday. And I wrote a business plan. I was so fired up by the idea of it that I literally wrote a one-page business plan that I took a picture of and I rediscovered recently. So I can go back and look at that. It was 8 months before I left. I thought when I looked at this plan, this will work. This I can do this someday. And I figured it would probably be a few years from now or maybe even a decade or two from now. And ultimately, when my baby was born, our first baby was born, little Grace, she was born in September of last year. And I took 3 weeks off of work. And my wife had just quit her job to be a stay-at-home mom because my job with my startup company was finally paying enough. It could provide for our family. And on my second day back to work, after those 3 weeks off, I felt like God was calling me to start this business. I had a number of signs, a number of conversations with people that led me to think the world needs faith to influence. The world needs the work that, and I had already created the name and everything 8 months earlier. I just, I didn't imagine in my wildest dreams it was going to be now, but I felt like the world needed it. And there were so many conversations and signs on the second day back. And I remember calling my wife and being emotional, being practically in tears. And the way I showed up in that conversation with her wasn't super tactful. So before you know it, she was in tears and like kind of shocked and scared. And this felt like the worst timing ever to quit my job and start a business. She just quit her job.
I mean, I don't know why you guys. Yeah, it was the perfect timing to start a business.
Right, right.
No job.
Right. And three to provide for instead of two. And, you know, it's just a whole new world here. And in previous years, when I was single, when I was by myself, I would have just done it that day. When I feel strongly about something, I'm courageous enough to act. That's maybe one of my gifts. Now that I had a family, though, we needed to think about this. And so we took a month and we talked about it and we prayed about it and we consulted people who we really trusted. And ultimately, I kept asking myself the same question, which is, would staying at my company or staying at my job or starting this company be more pleasing to God? Like, what would he really want me to do? What's going to be more impactful to the world? What's most important? And I kept coming to the same answer that I have to do this. And so my wife supported me in it and it was scary. And we took the leap. I quit my job November 15th of 2016 and started the business a couple of weeks later.
That's amazing. So talk to us about those like first few weeks, especially because we know you guys have gone from zero to 400K. So like what were the first things that you did to start like actually making some money so you could feed your wife and your new baby? Like how did those first few months go to actually getting some consistent revenue?
Great question. Also, I think I said November 2016. It was definitely November 2018 that we started the business.
There we go.
Little slip of the brain there. So what we did right away, first thing I did is I had talked to some people about the business and the viability of the business when I was in that decision-making process. And one of those people said, oh my gosh, yes, you need to do this. And I believe in this so much, I want to be a client. Like, sign me up. Like, I'm your first client. He was trying to give me his credit card. His name's Andrew Mortensen. I think he's fine with me sharing this because we're close friends. We've known each other for years. He believed in me, believed in this vision, which was so important to me to have people around me who did mm-hmm. believe. And he said, like, I'm ready with my credit card. And I'm like, well, I need a couple of weeks. I don't even know how to take an order yet. Like, I need to get our payment processing system up and set up our Stripe and our business checking account. So on day one, once our LLC was active, we had our business checking account set up, we had Stripe, I knew I had one sale. So I called Andrew and he bought, and that encouraged me. And I had an opportunity to do something that's outside of our normal business, our normal realm of business. So in our normal business, the first thing we wanted to do was sell people to a live event. And we were charging a little over $1,000 to come to a live event at that point. And I made a prospecting list. I made a huge list of like the 100 or 150 people I knew who at some level could either consider this or could potentially refer me to people who could consider this. Mm-hmm. And when I was making that long list, something happened, which is that a former client of mine at my former company reached out and said that they could use help at the live event they were running just a couple weeks later. Would I come out and help them sell into their mastermind, their group coaching program at their live event? So that was a blessing. It was something I didn't really earn. It just came in front of me. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. I made a few $1,000 selling for her at her event. And then I took this 150 person list that I had, and I texted every person on it that I had enough courage to text. There were maybe a few that I passed over and I was scared and was like, oh, I can't text them right away. What are they going to think? Are they going to judge me? For the most part though, I was courageous enough to text those people. So I crafted something, and it was a copy paste situation, changed the name, but I crafted a message saying, hey, I wanted to update you that I'm leaving my company, my job, and I'm starting Faith to Influence. And the reason that we're starting Faith to Influence is to help Christian men when more at work, more at home, and more in their faith. And I'm holding a really cool live event for men like this who value the same things and really want to grow. And I'm curious to know if you might be interested in having a conversation or if you might know some people I should be talking to. And I sent this out over and over and over again. I spent hours copy and pasting and like editing a little bit for person to person and putting the new name in, and ultimately had a lot of people not respond at all, of course. Some people respond with encouragement, but say it wasn't for them. And then I had people say, yeah, I'm interested in this. I'd like to talk more, or I might know some people. And so I lined up as many phone calls as I could with people who I thought could be my advocate or could be a prospect for the business. And then I utilized the sales process that I developed at my last company and the sales skills that I'd really developed over my entire adult life to get on the phone and sell through leadership more than like something that felt car salesy or sleazy in any way. Like I just really provided leadership, asked great questions about people's visions, and then presented an opportunity to help them close the gap between mm-hmm. where they're at right now and where they really want to be in their vision.
Yeah.
And that opportunity in many of the cases was to offer for people to come to our retreat. Mm-hmm. And I was selling the first event, which was 3 months later it was scheduled for. I'd already booked the location, which felt like a big risk. And I was selling people into that. And that first event had 8 men at it. And 6 of the 8 were people I knew from those initial text messages. The other 2 came from social media. So that's the other thing I did right away is I started posting on social media what I was doing. And I found that one of the people I texted in those 100 or so people was so interested in what I was doing, so fascinated, so much loved it. His name's David Gonzalez, that he said he wanted to be involved and he would help for free. And so he started helping me with some like photography and videography and helped us develop our logo and create our website, faith2influence.com. And then I just started making social media posts every day, telling the world what I was doing. And a couple people reached out and said, this is really cool. I want to learn more. And I think one of the reasons, I'll wrap my answer up here in a second, but I think one of the reasons this works so quickly, beyond just grace, is that we had a very specific target market. We're working with just men who were Christian, who were in business. And we actually sold a couple of people who were non-Christians, who were just open rather than opposed, and we're absolutely happy to have them at our retreats. But we had a very specific target market that we were writing our posts for. And mm-hmm. so when I think these men read that, they said, that's me. And I've actually never heard of anything that brought business, family, and faith together like this. And so I care about all those three things. Maybe this is just what I need.
I love that. I want to turn this conversation into like a 3-hour long conversation because there's a lot of questions. But I would love to just hear a little bit about like the sales side of it. It sounds like you've been in sales a lot. I don't think that, you know, you've been able to grow a successful business by accident and stuff. So what are some of the things, I would say like the biggest, what are the biggest things that people are not doing, that small businesses are not doing from a sales perspective that you think they should be doing to be getting a steady inflow of the right clients?
Man, I could name a lot of things, to be honest. I'll name a few if that's all right.
That's great.
So the first thing that comes to mind immediately when you're talking about this is that many entrepreneurs and small business owners have an identity crisis around who they are and around what it means to be a salesperson. I think that so many business owners and entrepreneurs and people in the world in general have this idea that sales is bad or sales is sleazy, or specifically in the Christian world, and some people outside of that too have a money mindset problem where they actually have a problem making money. They feel like making money is bad or asking for money is bad or something like that. And we ultimately have developed these stories through years of experiences and probably the stories of the people who came before us, our family, our mentors, our friends, movies that we've watched that have painted sales as bad. And so if we have this internal challenge around sales, that we don't think it's good, or we're afraid of asking for money, or we don't identify with being a salesperson because it feels bad. Well, if you don't identify with being a salesperson, you're probably not going to sell very much, is the first thing I want to say. And I want to just empower anyone who's listening to this, who sells something, which is every business in the world practically, that sales is really good. It's not a dirty word. The reality is that salespeople create the marketplace, inspire the marketplace, move the marketplace. Salespeople create jobs through the work they do. And they help people stay in their jobs by selling a lot of their product or a lot of their service. When companies grow their revenues for great sales, they hire more people. They give raises to the people at their job. And I'll also suggest that salespeople are critical to the success of the economy. And so if you're a salesperson, or if you're an entrepreneur or business person who's previously not identified as a salesperson, maybe you'll recognize right now that what you do is sales, and that sales is good. And how we feel about who we are, what we're selling, and sales in general is the first thing we got to get right if we want to sell a lot. I feel so good about being a salesperson. I feel so good about having sales conversations. I feel so good about what I sell, what I do in the world. And all of that makes it easier for me to sell. So that's the first piece.
I love that. Second thing, I just want to say, I love that. And we were just in our office, we're both millennials drinking LaCroix while we're interviewing.
Yes.
But we just filmed a video right before this for our online training platform and talking about how like marketing is good. Like marketing should be about you having a really valuable message or product and giving that message to the right person. And like, it's an exchange of value. It should be a good thing, but I think it's in our head. So I love what you're saying with that and would just wanted to chime in there. Cause that is so true.
Thank you. And for some people it goes even deeper to having a struggle in their relationship between giving and receiving. For some people, and it might be like how they were parented, given to or not given to when they were little, like it might be how their dad treated them or didn't treat them, or his presence or absence. All of these things can affect the stories that we tell ourselves and like the identity pieces we hold on to. But some people just have a challenge around the relationship of giving or receiving. They really struggle to receive, or they really struggle to give because they think they're not going to have enough, or they think they're not worthy of receiving, or whatever it might be. And if we get our relationship right around giving and receiving, if we become really generous and we give a lot, it's probably gonna be easier for us to ask. It's probably gonna be easier for us to receive and feel good about that too. And so how to solve all that, that's another podcast episode for another day. It's a whole different conversation. The awareness simply though of what might be holding us back will begin to create opportunity for us to find the solution to the problem. So if you're noticing, man, I've maybe got this identity problem, I need a shift here, I'm not sure how, just having the awareness of the need for the shift will probably bring solutions to the table over time. So I want to empower you in that. The second thing I'll say is what most salespeople do wrong is they miss the very beginning of the conversation. They get the beginning of the conversation wrong. And this is where we really need to lead. Ultimately, people will make judgments about us based on how we show up in the first couple minutes of the conversation. If there are people who are listening to this episode, you probably judged me within the first couple of minutes, maybe in a positive way. I hope so. Or you might've said, man, I don't like this guy's voice, or something about his pace doesn't feel quite right to me. Or if you were
he does have a Giannis Antetokounmpo jersey behind him.
Yes.
If you need any other reasons to judge him.
Giannis, the Greek freak. You might be like, man, I am not a Bucks fan. Oh, he's from Milwaukee. I don't like people from Milwaukee. Or maybe you're like, if you were looking at me, he doesn't even have any hair on his head. He's got more hair on his chin than his head. I'm not sure if I trust that. But ultimately, whatever it is, good or bad, you might be like, oh, I really like this guy. I vibe with him. Whatever it is, good or bad, people will judge us within a couple of minutes. People will oftentimes judge us even within 30 seconds. And so most salespeople will not have a real structured plan for how they're going to begin the conversation. And they might stay in a process of building rapport for as long as possible until their customer, prospect, client leads them out of that by saying, okay, so what are we really here for? What's the point? And it's not a great way to begin a conversation of leadership, because I believe sales is leadership, to have the prospect need to lead. Ultimately, your prospect probably leads in so many areas of their life already, in their business, in their family, et cetera, in their community. And if they can sit down with you and be taken through a process of leadership, they're gonna feel really good. So the first thing in that is to say that I build rapport typically for, or get into rapport for 30 seconds. I'm not gonna talk about what that looks like out of time's sake, but 30 seconds of a couple of questions, engaging with the person, getting to know the energy level and the pace and volume and tone and who am I with, I can figure that out in 30 seconds, just like they can about me. And at that point, I want to transition. I want to be the one to lead into the conversation. And I'm going to do that with a preframe. Preframing to me is the most important part of a sales conversation. How do you set the structure for what's about to happen? And can you do it in such a way that establishes that you are a leader, that you are trustable, and that gets consent from the person you're with to go through your process? It also tells them that you have a plan, that you're prepared, that you're a professional. And so the way I'm gonna preframe our sales conversation is something like this. I might say, hey, John, thanks so much for taking the time to connect with me today. I wanna make the best time of yours and mine. And so I just like to lay out a simple structure for this call. Would that be all right? To which they say, yes. And I say, great. The reason we're talking is Seth referred me to you and told me that you're a great person. He also said you're a great business person and that you're a man of faith. And my company, Faith to Influence, works with some of the top salespeople and leaders from across the country who are also Christian men who care about their family, their faith, and their business. And we help them achieve higher levels of mastery in all three areas. And we do that through our retreats and our mastermind, our coaching programs. And ultimately, what my outcome is on this conversation is to figure out if it makes sense for us to work together. And the way we're going to get there is I'd like to ask you some questions about where you're at right now in your business and in your life. And then I want to talk to you about your vision for the future. What do you really want? And after that, let's discuss the gap. What are some of the challenges that stand in the way between where you're at right now and where you want to be? At that point, I'll give you some perspective and coaching based on what I hear. And if it seems like a good fit, I'll explain more specifically how we work with our clients. And then you and I can decide either to work together or not work together. And either way is fine. Does that sound good? To which they say yes. And there's several pieces in that preframe that if we were just having a call in preframe, mm-hmm. we could like break it all down that are important. But ultimately, what I'm really doing is telling them why we're on the phone, what the outcome is that we're after, what structure we're gonna go through together to achieve that outcome. And then I'm gonna let them know we're gonna make a decision at the end of the call. And I'm going to get their permission to go through the structure, including the decision, which is the part that salespeople who are not doing well want to avoid and needs to be understood on both sides at the front end. And it's not sleazy. It's actually like very, builds a lot of trust. It's very authentic mm-hmm. for them to be like, cool, there is a decision we're going to make. we're both on the same page about it. I've agreed to make that decision, and I've agreed to answer these questions that are going to help us both discover if it's a good fit. Once that process is done and we've gone through a pre-frame like that, and they've said, yes, let's do it, it's really easy for me to lead, to ask good questions, to have a process that flows well. And people love leadership. They want to be led. And so they can just sit back after that and let me take them for the ride of the conversation. Right. Of course, they're going to engage, and I'm going to ask more questions than I'm going to tell. And that's the final thing I'm going to give, is that in sales, what people are getting wrong is they think they need to demonstrate and talk and tell, when the best thing that we can do is ask a great question and then listen with full presence.
I love that. That is so good. And I think that I hope the listeners were taking notes, because I think a lot of people don't understand how valuable of advice that is. So I wish we could go into all of these areas. As we wrap up, I have a few quick questions for you. But I mean, you know, you have all this sales expertise, you have professional experience, you're applying it to this business now. What's your why behind what you're building right now?
Yeah, I think the world needs it. I think that what the world needs more than anything else, by the way, is men who will simply lead their own home. If every man in the world began to lead his own family, showed up as a present and engaged and thoughtful leader for his wife and his kids, and this doesn't mean that our wives and our kids can't lead too. Of course they do. Ultimately, though, I really believe, like, if every man just took ownership for his own family and the way he showed up and led in a meaningful way, the world would change overnight. If we all were just great fathers and husbands, the world would change immediately. It would be dramatically different. And I also know that one of the things that men are really passionate about is business and growing business. Mm-hmm. And because that's something I'm really good at, leading with the fact that we can help you sell more, we can help you make more money, we can help you grow your business, is a good way to get people in the door so that I can secretly help them become better leaders for their family, better faithful leaders, help them become more of who God created them to be, and ultimately send them back out into the world so that they can have more impact on all the areas and all the communities that they engage in.
That's great. I love that. And I hope that the listeners will actually go and check out Faith to Influence. Justin, what have been some resources that have been helpful for you along your journey of getting to where you're at today, whether it's podcasts or books or people, whatever it might be?
Yeah. You know, my first coach in 2009 was Hal Elrod. He wrote The Miracle Morning. He's pretty famous now for that. He was actually teaching me The Miracle Morning on our coaching calls and testing the concept with me before he wrote the book, which was super cool. So he really impacted me. And then Ben Skemper and the team at Abundant.is, which is my former company, I was a client there first. I had an incredible experience with them and learned a lot. I've also been to Tony Robbins events and Brendan Burchard, and they've been really interesting. And I would say going to live events and, like, engaging with people in person is so valuable. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many good mentors along the way. I absolutely cannot name them all. But what I will say is a few books that have been super impactful to me as well are You and Me Forever, which is about marriage in light of eternity. It's by Francis Chan. I would say also Think and Grow Rich, which was the first personal development book I ever read, was super impactful to me. And in the faith side of things, I absolutely love Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And I think while there's like 10 other books and resources I want to name, I'll leave it at that for now.
Totally. No, I love that. And I appreciate that. And those, I can attest to most of those resources. Those are great. And you have a gift that you want for our listeners, and you kind of put together something special for those that wanted to just say, man, I want more. I want to learn more from you. So tell us a little bit about what you have to offer our listeners today.
Absolutely. So the gift is an audio recording of our rules of engagement. This is the first thing we teach at our live events, and it's become some of our most treasured and appreciated content. And these rules are really designed, they're 8 rules designed to help you win more at work, win more at home, and win more in your faith. If you're not a Christian, I guarantee that when you listen to these rules, you're going to love them. You're going to glean a lot from them. It's really good leadership content more than anything else. on how to lead yourself and lead the people around you. And so if you would like to listen to this relatively brief, similar in length to this podcast audio on the rules of engagement, go to f2igift.com. That's F the number two, I gift.com. You can have them for free. I think you'll love the rules and I would love to get your feedback. So if you want to connect with me, follow me on social media, Justin Janowski, or follow Faith to Influence on social media. And you can send me a message or you can even email me at justin@faithtoinfluence.com.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I encourage everybody go and check out what they are doing. Even if you're not in their target audience, like this is a young company that is growing, that is intentional, that is professional. Like, let's watch them grow and support them and be behind them and help them on their journey. So thank you so much for joining us today on the Small Business Storytellers. And I'm going to have to come down to Colorado Springs and buy you lunch and we'll have to talk. There's so many things I want to talk more about, but I appreciate you being present today.
My pleasure. I love free lunch, so I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Awesome.
This podcast was produced by Story On Media and Marketing, and our passion is helping small businesses use stories to grow their business, and we create a community that helps you do just that. So if you don't have the budget to hire a big agency, but you really want to learn how to navigate online marketing, how to tell better stories, and really how to build a brand that lasts, then our program, Success with Stories Elite, is for you. Every single week, we give you new trainings, content ideas, and content blueprints to make marketing with stories easy. To join our community, head over to www.successwithstories.com/elite or just click on the link in our show notes. Again, that's successwithstories.com/elite. Have an awesome day and let us know what you loved about this episode by leaving a review on iTunes or your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you so much. My name is Seth Silvers and I will see you next time.